Our scripture today comes from the book of Revelations, chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty.
Please remain standing to join us in singing Soon and Very Soon.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
As the band makes themselves or makes their way back to their seats. So if you are interested in, so Christ the King Sunday is today, I'm going to preach about that. But at the 9 o'clock service, we worked our way through the entire Christian year with kind of a service of lessons and carols. So if you're interested in that, you can watch that online later. We start with Advent and we go all the way through today. And I talk a little bit about the liturgical colors, which are the colors of the banners up here. So anyway, just wanted to let you know about that. All right, let's pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each one of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today is Christ the King Sunday, the final Sunday of the Christian year before we begin anew with Advent next weekend. Historically, this Sunday was instituted by Pope Pius XI in 1925 during an era of rising fascism as a marker against uncontrolled human power. Now, this day may seem somewhat out of sync in today's world, but scripturally, we have many references to Jesus as king. He's just a very different kind of king. Jesus comes to the world and leaves the world not in royal robes or donning a jeweled crown, but rather he is born and placed in the feeding trough of a barn and then leaves the world hanging on the cross wearing a crown of thorns. The Jesus we worship is not a king of great monarchy, but the sovereign one of the vulnerable, the oppressed, and the lost. Jesus is the people's king, and we celebrate the sovereignty of that Christ. Envisioning Christ as a king may be difficult for us for a variety of reasons. First, we in the United States had a revolution in order to escape the monarchy of England. We rebelled against having a king. We value democracy and feel that governments led by kings often do not allow for the common people to have a voice. The whole idea of someone ruling over us is like a slap in the face to the rugged individualism on which our country is based. Second of all, the word king just may bring up negative connotations around power. This is somewhat related to the first example about a nation's government, but individually, we may have difficulty referring to God in Jesus as Christ the King. If we've had negative experiences of others who have power over us, which has resulted in our personal harm, either physically or emotionally, then using the word king or lord to describe Jesus may just feel too difficult to use. Thirdly, referring to Jesus as king does indeed put a gender identity upon God. And for many who have sought to embrace the feminine side of who God is, in addition to the masculine, then using the word king may not be particularly helpful either. However, there are ways in which we can name Christ that honor the essence of who Christ as our king is without using that word explicitly. We can use an alternate title for today, which some churches do, and they call it Reign of Christ Sunday. We can refer to Jesus as our sovereign rather than using king or lord. It's important, however, not to stray from what the image and use of Jesus as king means for Christians. There is a reason that God has been called king for centuries. There is no right or wrong answer to the words that we use. We can reclaim old words like king, or use synonyms like sovereign one. We can use any of these words as long as they convey the meaning which is intended by the many scriptures which inform us about who Jesus is. In the Hebrew scriptures, God anoints kings to lead us as shepherd kings. The rulers of Judah were to protect the outcast and the oppressed. They were to lead as shepherds, hence the shepherd's crook over here. They were supposed to be concerned about every sheep in the flock. At many points, these kings failed to live in this way, and instead they were self-centered, and they built a kingdom upon the backs of the poor. The kings which God had intended to lead with righteousness, to bring justice and mercy to all, often became extreme power mongers, only concerned about their own power and position and wealth. God promises, however, in the prophets that a righteous branch, a wise and just king, will be raised who will bring a return of God's rule to all the world. No one will be able to escape his love and mercy. When God comes to earth as Jesus, Emmanuel, this is when we see the kind of king that God desires for the world. The Gospels give a very clear image of Jesus' sovereignty that is totally antithetical to the nature of kingship defined by the world. This is most clearly shown when Jesus is being crucified on the cross, an image in itself that does not fit the image of a king. So that painting is not of Jesus on the cross, but Jesus' view from the cross, okay? The title above Jesus, even though he wasn't the king that we thought him to be, or those who lived during that time thought him to be, there was the sign above him that read King of the Jews. The words spoken by this sovereign one are the total opposite of what we would expect from a ruler, and were total opposite of what the Roman emperor would have said. Jesus forgives those who have sent him to his death. And in addition, Jesus offers the criminals being persecuted beside him mercy and grace. He promises them that they will be with him in paradise despite their crimes. Jesus never once tried to sidle up to the Pharisees or to Pilate in hopes of forming a coalition. As he was charged with heresy and breaking the Torah law, Jesus humbly accepted the insults and the false accusations. Rather than using the power that he had as God's son, the chosen one, the Messiah, Jesus traveled the road of servanthood, knowing that his call was to lift up the lowly, the brokenhearted, the oppressed, the outcast, and the sick. Jesus' kingdom was observed from the cross as he hung to his death on a wooden beam upon the town's garbage heap. He looks upon the poor and the lowly ones he ministered to who were grieving his death. This scene is the commonwealth, the kingdom of God come to life. But Jesus' kingdom is an upside-down one, to borrow Donald Crable's book title. An upside-down kingdom is where lions and lambs dwell together, where conflict is resolved peacefully, not with violence, where justice is the goal, not retribution. And this upside-down kingdom brings us more joy and hope than we can ever imagine. There may be many congregations across the country and world looking at a different kingdom reality today. Some preachers will focus on the kingdom of God to come in the future, the kingdom of God which focuses on the believers joining their God in heaven and leaves the unbelievers or the unsaved behind. But this is not the kingdom of reality which I believe God calls us to focus on today. We can be co-laborers with God to make the kingdom a reality here and now. God's realm is made known to us in our life and ministry together, as we reach out and serve others through our micro pantry, Together We Hope, and the Bridge Teen Center, as we provide hospitality to recovery groups seeking to depend upon a higher power to overcome behaviors that have brought harm, as we make space for and welcome children in our congregational life in worship and other activities, as we share our resources with organizations who are helping those on the margins, like A Joyful Heart and Mercy Home for Boys and Girls, as we offer grace freely while also holding one another accountable, as we speak the truth in love to one another, even in the midst of conflict and challenge. God's realm is visible when we come to the table to participate in God's free gift of love and grace in the bread and cup. When we gather in small groups for study and learning, maybe disagreeing at times, but all the while seeking a stronger relationship with God and one another. When we work at opening up more and more opportunities for everyone to be engaged and involved in the life of our church. Those within our denomination are working to bring about the kingdom as well, and we participate in that through our own gifts. By having the United Methodist Committee on Relief going to places around the world like Jamaica and the Caribbean, devastated by Hurricane Melissa, by providing emergency relief and health care for adults and children in Gaza and the West Bank, and by providing food, shelter, and mental health care to survivors of the conflict in Ukraine. Our church is in all of those places, enacting, embodying the kingdom of God. These are the ways we seek to follow King Jesus and bring about the kind of kingdom which he envisioned and calls us to. Of course, we do not get it right all of the time. But our sovereign, King Jesus, doesn't punish us when we falter. Christ the Sovereign One offers us a second and a third and a fourth chance. Our King, our Lord, does not demand perfection, does not have a holy temper tantrum when we mess up, does not torture us when we make a mistake. Our God comes through Jesus the Christ and offers grace. And that is our call as Christ's followers, to offer that kind of grace and love to each other and to the least, the last, and the lost living among us. When we do that in community, in our families, in all of our relationships at work and in the world, we begin to see glimpses of God's kingdom more and more frequently. Jesus is ruler over the commonwealth of all people, specifically those to whom he ministers in the crucifixion story and the entirety of the Gospels. Jesus is the ruler of an upside-down kingdom, as opposed to the kind of kingdom where wealth and power dominate and where the poor are cast aside. The world where Jesus is sovereign is difficult to achieve for sure, because it goes against everything we're taught to believe by our mainstream media and culture. But we can catch glimpses of the kind of kingdom which God envisions as we work as co-laborers in ministry with our siblings in Christ here in this place and in the wider world. Let us claim Christ as our sovereign one, as our King, as our Lord. For this one indeed has claimed us as his own, and in that claiming has given us freedom, hope, and new life. Thanks be to God. Amen.